My interest here is in, I'll go back for a second here, is in how sleep varies across species and what this might tell us about any general functions of sleep. And I think part of the lesson is that you have to know the species you're interested in, which means humans in some respects may differ from other species. It certainly is not clear what universal principles will apply across species in terms of sleep amounts and possibly even sleep functions. So I have a series of slides here which shows that animals that are genetically related, and we know that genetic relatedness determines many things about the physiology of different systems, intellectual function, many different capabilities, sensory capabilities, and yet it does not seem to determine sleep. Closely related animals can have widely varying amounts of sleep and independently varying amounts of REM sleep. So here you see examples of two different birds, a zebrafinch and emperor penguin. Actually, I know there are other studies that produce different numbers on this. I think the principle holds. Here we have an animal that has 14 hours of sleep, 9 hours of sleep in the penguin, 0.2 hours of REM sleep, 1.4 hours in the penguin. In the carnivora family, you have a domestic cat has about 12 and a half hours of sleep, which is why it has been such a great subject for many of the classic studies of sleep control. But the genet has only 6.3 hours of sleep, and there's a similar difference in the amount of REM sleep. Among rodents, you have a golden-mantled ground squirrel with about 16 hours of sleep and a daegu with 7.7 hours and a threefold difference in REM sleep. Artiodactyla, you have a pig with 9 hours of sleep, a giraffe with 1.9 hours, one of the lowest amounts of any species. And REM sleep also has a huge difference. And I think one important thing to keep in mind is that to the extent that these different species have been examined, the animals that have shorter amounts of sleep do not sleep more deeply than the animals that have longer amounts of sleep. In fact, just the reverse is true. In terms of elevation of arousal threshold, amplitude of slow waves, the animals that sleep more deeply. And this doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of a conservation of function across species. Among the pinnipeds, you have the northern fur seal getting 8.7 hours of sleep, and the Caspian seal getting 3.5 hours. They get similar amounts of REM sleep, though. Insectivora, we have the mole and the tenrec, twofold difference in sleep amounts, but pretty much the same amount of REM sleep. So REM and non-REM seem to vary independently, but the important point here is that within each order of animals, there's an overlapping range. You can't say that primates have a certain amount of sleep, rodents have a certain amount of sleep as a group. That's just not the case. Marsupials, the thick tail of the possum, is one of the champion sleepers in the animal kingdom. And next to the platypus and the ferret has the largest amount of REM sleep. The potoroo has much less, one quarter as much REM sleep, less overall sleep time. Representative primates. So here you have the same amount of REM sleep in the owl, monkey, and man, and twice as much total sleep, almost. The elephant, the animal that never forgets, has about the same amount of REM sleep as humans, but much less total sleep time. And the little brown bat, which I'd say at this point is the animal that sleeps the most, has 19 hours of sleep, and again, about the same amount of REM sleep as we do. So REM and non-REM vary to some extent independently. They are very weakly correlated, but there is a huge range between species within orders. Now, there is the concept that sleep is for the brain. Certainly, we know that when we don't sleep, brain function is impaired. Within species, within the human species, that's undoubtedly the case, that intellectual function is impaired. But across animals, that really isn't the case. Brain size is not correlated with total sleep time. It's very weakly correlated with REM sleep time. It explains a very small amount of the variance. There's some evidence that I alluded to before for brain damage in the rat, subcortical brain damage with sleep deprivation, but it's only with very extreme sleep deprivation, and it's a relatively small damage. This is work that we've done, so I figure I can be dismissive of it. Here is an example. You have the bush-tailed possum with a smooth or lissencephalic cortex getting 18 hours of sleep a day and 6.6 hours of REM sleep a day, whereas the elephant gets, with this huge brain, 3.9 hours of sleep and 1.8 hours of REM sleep. It's also not true that brain-body weight ratio correlates with any of this. So if you correct for size, you still have a mystery. And we've been particularly interested in sleep in cetaceans. They also show a range of sleep behavior, and I think it requires a little discussion exactly how you define sleep in cetaceans, but certainly some of the larger whales show what appears to be sleep, periods of immobility. Responsiveness hasn't been measured, but these are long periods of immobility, and they can be disturbed, and they'll become mobile. But through many years of observation, there's been no sign of REM sleep in the bottlenose dolphin or in any other species that's been looked at. And so when I've given this kind of talk in the past to groups like this, inevitably someone would say, well, why don't you look right after birth? Because we know REM sleep is maximal at birth, and that would be the time to see it in cetaceans. So a few years ago, I opened up my Los Angeles Times in the morning, and I saw that a killer whale had been born here at SeaWorld San Diego. And we had done some prior work with them, and I realized here was my great opportunity. So these incredible pictures taken at SeaWorld show the birth of Nakai in a puff of blood, and a few seconds later, it swims up alongside its mother. This Kasatka actually had a moment of fame about a month ago when it nearly killed a trainer by holding it underwater, holding him underwater. But I guess it wasn't fatal. Anyway, we... Well, I think actually this was not Kasatka's first offense, but you know, you can be sure she won't be punished for it. But there is this issue that when the killer whale females are in heat, they get a little confused. So I don't know if she was in heat, but I know that's been an explanation in the past. So we observed the newborn periodically for the next 6 months or so, and the mother after birth, to see if indeed we would see signs of REM sleep. And Oleg Lehman, who's my postdoc, was doing most of this work. And he, you know, he came back after his first observation. He said, "Guess what? Not only is there no REM sleep, there appears to be no sleep at all." And this is what we saw in terms of these periods of immobility that are characteristic of sleep in all other species. you didn't see anything in the neonate. The neonate is constantly chasing the mother. They swim around. The mother keeps moving, and so the mother actually stops any kind of rest behavior, any kind of immobility behavior, and the neonate is at a disadvantage.